Hello, I'm Derek Morrison, and you're listening to Argon Radio, the only podcast exclusively about that wonderful, wonderful element we call argon. This week in news, scientists have now synthesized a new flavor of argon. Those of you keeping score at home, you'll now know that there are 16 distinct flavors.
Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 211 of Nerd Pride Radio. 211, according to Wikipedia, an odd number. How odd. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How are you doing?
I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week, obviously, it's Derek Morrison from Argon Radio. Welcome, Derek.
It's good to be here, Mike.
Co-hosts don't talk.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. That's it. Aiden had the same problem last week, but you've got it. So, we're going to get straight into it. It is time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record.
You lucky dogs.
So straight into it. First up, obviously, it's my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, then I am here to share it with you. And the only thing on my mind for gaming this week is God Ball. All right. For those of you who haven't been paying attention, my friend Dave and I have been working on designing a board game named God Ball that we are really proud of, and it is gods directing heroes of Greek myth, to play God Ball for them to settle whatever petty dispute gods have. And it's really fun, and it's really funny, and we're having a great time. And this week, yesterday, in fact, I got to play my very first live playtest with actual human beings in the same room with me. And it was really cool. So, you want to pitch in?
Sure. Sorry, I was taking a drink when you said that.
I'd like to catch you off guard. Keep you on your toes.
But yeah, I had a lot of fun with the game. Eli actually scored a point.
Yes, we actually had someone win. We got three rounds in. We were playing with, it was me and Aiden, obviously, and then Eli and Noah, my other two younger children, and then their cousins, Caleb, who you guys have met on the podcast here, and then also Zachary, and they're both roughly Eli's age. So they're all junior high, 8th, 9th grade, all of them. So we had such a fun time with it, and here's the part that I didn't expect, and this is just from the game design perspective. I'll just fill you guys in on this. Dave has complained every time he's gone to do a playtest, because he's done a live playtest as well, but also he set up all the online stuff, and he's the one that's been kind of the mover behind getting some of these things going. And every time there's a playtest, Dave goes into panic mode. Like, you know, that kind of nerves thing where your stomach is turning over and you're just sure that everything's going to go to crap and that everyone's going to hate it and it's going to be terrible. Up till now, it's always been my job to give him a pep talk and say, dude, of course it's going to be terrible. Who cares? That's the whole point of doing these things is that, you know, we're going to screw up and things are going to, oh, hold on. Need to take a break. Sorry about that phone call, Jacob. He's got a new cat and likes to talk. I'll cover that in just a moment. So anyway, it's always up to me to give him the pep talk and say, hey, you know, hey, of course the game's going to be terrible, but that's why we play it, is we have to do play testing so we can find out, you know, which parts are broken.
Exactly what ways it's terrible.
And yeah, exactly. And we can fix those things and make it better for next time. And it turns out that every time we play it, yeah, it's broken in places and there's stuff we need to fix up, but we wind up having a really good time. Every playtest has gone really well, and everyone involved catches on really quick and has a good time. And now this time, for the first time since I was playing live, I got that same feeling. It was like, for the couple hours before we sat down to it, I kept thinking of excuses to put it off, and I thought, you know, I've been feeling kind of sick lately. I said, oh, it's this pneumonia. I can't play with pneumonia. And so I kept thinking of ways to just not get to it because I was really nervous. And so finally I talked to Dave about it and he gave me the pep talk. And so finally I bucked up and figured, I got to do this. I mean, eventually I got to do this, right? And besides, they're my kids. It's not like my kids are going to judge me to my face.
But we're not gonna
they're too scared of me.
You.
Right. You guys are way too scared
You're
of me.
You're learning,
right?
Buddy.
Yeah, exactly. And so, It took a little bit to get through that initial nerves thing, but sat down, we played, and it turns out that, God, yeah, everybody caught on. Everybody had a great time. The kids figured out the rules really fast, and they had a good time. They figured out the strategy to the game. We had implemented a couple of new things, and so the game moved a lot faster than it has before, which is kind of what we're shooting for. And it was just really good. So, ultimately, this means that we're going to keep playtesting, and the print-and-play version of this game is available now, so if you are interested in being a playtester for Godball and you don't already have access to the print-and-play, come to the boards, contact me by email, do something, and let me know that you're interested, and I'll see what I can do about hooking you up if you're wanting to be a part of that. Also, on the plus side, and this was something I had been planning on doing anyway, but I posted everything out on Facebook to say, hey, look, it's our first playtest of Godball. And the friend of mine who owns the local gaming store here in town sent me a note immediately that said, hey, you know, we could set up a night for you to come bring it down to the game store and you could play here. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm kind of counting on that. That'd be awesome. So yes, I will. I might even print up an extra version just for the game store, just so I can leave a set there and if they want to, you know, toy around with it and give me feedback, that would be awesome. I would love to hear what people say, who haven't ever, you know, who aren't sitting down with me and they're learning the rules from somebody else. I think that would be kind of cool. The only drawback now is now having played it and realizing, okay, I need to fix this and this and this. And I realize that, oh God, but the playtest document is already out there and now it's full of mistakes. Oh, what if someone tries to play it and they hit all these mistakes and now they're lost and they hate me? They're going to think this game is terrible. The nerves just never go away. God darn it. So anyway, but we're going to get over that and we're going to keep pushing forward because we really like this game.
Noah and, is also sick, and that is the coughing you'll hear in the background.
Oh yeah, that's Noah, who is just now getting sick too. So he's miserable. He is not feeling well at all today. What else? I was going to say one last thing about Godball before Noah coughed. What was I going to say? I don't remember
that
at all.
That's going to be the best game ever.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about Godball. There are some companies that we can try and sell this concept to. I mean, it's going to be another year, maybe longer, of playtesting and putting things together. I mean, we're just now playtesting the cards, and then there's other aspects of the game that we have to write up and fold in once we figured out that this part works. And so, you know, ultimately there are some companies that we could sell it to, or, you know, try to. And, you know, maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe we'll be that one in a million that someone will take a chance on us and we'll have a shot at doing this. But maybe not. If not, you know, maybe we can put together a Kickstarter. And if it goes like other people's first Kickstarters, if we're lucky, we'll actually get the thing funded and we'll actually get a game published if we put in the work and get enough support. And if it's a typical first Kickstarter, then, you know, we'll break even. And then we'll have a published version of our game and we won't lose any money doing it. That would be the dream. That would be awesome to actually have a published version of my game, something that we can point to and show off to people and not lose money. That would be great. So that's our dream. But anyway, we'll keep updating you as things go on because, you know, that's how I am. Yeah, Jacob got a cat. This isn't a segment, but he spotted
now on this week's segment of Jacob Got a Cat.
There was a kitten living in the alley, behind his house and living in the dumpster. And I mean, kitten, like it's little. And so he felt bad for this thing because it looks really sickly and it looks like it's not doing well. And so he tries to help it out, see if he can get it a little food, see if he can, you know, get it to the vet maybe and just get it checked out. And he can't get the kitten because, you know, it's a wild kitten and it doesn't want anything to do with him. So, he borrowed a live trap from his grandparents and set up this little tiny live trap that's built for animals smaller than cats, but perfect on a kitten. And sure enough, I mean, within hours of setting this thing out, he had a kitten trapped in his live trap. So he brought it inside, and it's been living in his laundry room. You know, it was there for 2 or 3 days, eating really well, getting used to him. And he does – you got to know Jacob. Jacob with his hedgehog, Jacob now with the kitten. He's the cat whisperer. He's very gentle, and he's just breaking in it slowly and getting it accustomed to him. And now we just went over to visit him today, and, you know, 7 days into this project, and he's got a kitten that's sitting on his lap and eating out of his hands, and it's still
it doesn't go there on its own.
Right, it's not.
But it's a step.
Right, exactly. It's not like seeking out his lap, but if he picks it up and holds it, it's comfortable there, and he's going to get it to the vet tomorrow, finally, and he's named it Griffin. So there you go. If there are relevant Griffin updates, I will let you know. But I don't know how much more there's going to be. But he looks like a good cat. And he's going to... Yeah, that's right. Should I have a specific Griffin section every week now?
A segment called, How's Griffin Doing?
So, anyway, right now he's doing pretty good. So, way better than he was 7 days ago. He's still skin and bones, but, God, he's eating like a horse. So, a very, very tiny horse.
cat, one might say.
But that is the end of that.
And now it's time to open up yet another 80s movie that my dad swears is wicked awesome.
Well, at least it was wicked awesome back in the 80s.
It was awesome in the 80s, but not anymore. It was awesome in the 80s, but not today.
Yes, this is awesome in the 80s. My dad, who is old, picks out a movie from the 80s that he loved back when he was a kid. Then we watch it together, and I tell him why he's wrong. Dad, Dad, tell me what we're watching this week and why it was awesome in the 80s.
We watched Real Genius. Real Genius. Okay, first off, Real Genius was just awesome. It's always been awesome. It was
awesome.
As a nerd kid, Real Genius was this vision of nerds going off to college and being like kings of the world. Like Val Kilmer in this thing is just so sarcastic and
wisecracking.
Yeah, and he just is so smooth that it was everything you dreamed.
Like every nerd has ever been ever.
Right, exactly. It was every nerd's dream that, you know what? One day, I'll use this brain to get my shit together, and I can be just as cool as that. It's just a matter of applying myself, and not in the way that you know, Revenge of the Nerds went out and became kings of campus by overthrowing the jock. No, this was just
a lot of sexual assault.
Well, we'll get to that when we review that movie.
Are we reviewing Revenge of the Nerds?
We're gonna do Revenge of the Nerds.
Woo!
But Real Genius was just, I don't know, it was just this nerd fantasy that was so cool, and loved it back in the 80s, watched it a dozen times, thought it was awesome. So, he's already kind of given it away, but, you know, what do we think?
Don't read my lines for me, how dare you?
Well, I was ad-libbing.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure.
Okay, Eli?
No, no, Eli, you stay there. This is my thing.
What?
Nothing.
I was just using moving baskets, what?
Anyway, but I actually really like this movie. It is probably the best movie I've watched for Awesome in the 80s.
Yeah, it really, it was just as much fun this time. I watched it with Aiden and with Eli and with Noah. And Eli, how did you like Real Genius? It's in his top 10 movies. That's how much he liked Real Genius. It was really good. We had so much fun with this.
People I recognize from this movie. You have written down Val Kilmer, but I don't know who that is.
That's Val Kilmer? Val Kilmer from Top Secret? Remember we watched Top Secret together? Nothing? He played the lead in The Doors. Willow. Willow? We've seen Willow.
No, we haven't.
We've watched Willow.
We have not watched
Willow. You were maybe three, but you watched Willow. Okay. He was the Iceman from Top Gun.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got that. Okay.
Yeah, see, and then that was it. That was really
the... Well, we knew friggin' nobody, remember?
Yeah, that's right. There was nobody in that movie that they knew. That was the joke that we had going on, was that, you'll recognize friggin' nobody. And that was it.
He plays Kent.
Now... Going forward, I have a plan. There's more movies we're going to watch. And I'm amazed at how well some of this Awesome in the 80s stuff is tying together. I mean, like the fact that you know, we already watched Top Gun, and thus we have a basis for him to know Val Kilmer. So this was really cool. But I'm not going to give away anything else, because we're going to do a couple others that are all going to tie in here. It's going to be awesome.
In the 80s.
That's right. So, all right. So, go ahead.
So, next on the list is stuff that they can't get away with today. And you know what? There is one and only thing that I can mark that you can't get away with today.
Which is?
That genuine 80s movie feel.
You know what? I'll give you points for that. That's actually, that's the one flaw, is that it's very clearly an 80s movie. And it's an 80s movie in a way that it telegraphed so much stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, as we open up, and it opens up with the mock ad for the crossbow space laser weapon system and all this. And just from that ad and then seeing the cartoonishly evil CIA and generals and all this discussing it around the table. I mean, cartoonishly evil these guys were. And from that couple of scenes there, Aiden had the entire plot of the movie pretty well figured out. He's like, okay, so this is where we're going to go with this? And I'm like, oh,
The heroes are going to work on the laser to eventually realize that they're actually working on a death laser, and then they finally have to go on this heroic journey to stop the death laser.
Yeah, it was... Because it's an 80s movie, it's kind of a tired cliche in the way that you put together some of its plot elements. It was not original in any way, as far as that goes, but it doesn't matter because it's not about the plot. It's about the journey to get through the plot, and the journey was really fun. So, the stuff that you can't get away with today, I was worried about, the creepy statutory rape.
Right. Okay. I was going to mention the 19-year-old and the 16-year-old.
Right. But here's the thing. Yeah. He starts the movie when he's 15, and then we watch a whole year of college. So somewhere in the middle of the year, we have this very clear scene where this creepy older woman who likes to sleep with
Genius groupie.
Yeah. A genius groupie, as it were. And she comes in, and now she says, I've waited years for this. And he's like, waited for what? For you to be old enough. And then they don't actually have sex. But that's our cue that
they do mack a lot of face.
Yeah. This is our cue that he has turned 16 at this point, even though they never say outright that that's why she's there. That's the implication. And so thus, okay, he's 16 and technically legal, especially in the 80s. That was, I'm certain, legal in whatever state they were in. And so legal, just creepy and gross that she would do that. And then later at the end, he hooks up with the Manic Pixie Dream Girl, who is 19. And it's like, okay, 16, 19, it's a 3-year age difference, I suppose. Still feels a little creepy, but it's not as horrible. So I think if they wanted to do it again, they would probably leave that part out, or at least get him some slightly more age appropriate, because it would come off as creepy. But it wasn't as bad as it could have been. It's not like other 80s movies we've seen. Mm-hmm. So
I completely agree. Now I'm going to tie in these last two points together because I have points to make that relate to each other.
Okay.
So first off, does it hold up? And I think, yes, absolutely it holds up, but how would you make it for today, and should you? You can't, and no, you shouldn't.
You can't remake it?
No. Because what makes this movie good is its 80s-ness.
Yes. This movie,
You can't remake it without doing to it what people did to Baywatch.
This movie was so 80s, it had three montage scenes. That's how 80s it was.
You can't remake this movie without completely destroying what it is.
Yeah, I think he's right. I think if you wanted to remake it for today, I think audiences right now are too cynical to just go for a straightforward idea that the nerds could be this cool. And I think it would have to be tongue-in-cheek, and it would have to be with a wink to the camera, yeah, very Baywatch or very Brady Bunch, even that kind of, and that wouldn't do it because this was a very sincere tone, mm-hmm. and yeah, you're right. They without the 80s cheese, they would not be able to pull off that sincere tone today. I think you're absolutely right. I think this movie is ripe for remaking. I think there would be money to be made in remaking it.
But I just think it's money that should be made.
Right. I just don't think it's necessarily a good idea because whatever they're remaking wouldn't actually be real genius. It would be...
Right, it would be
It was some mockery of it.
Right. That, again, like the new Baywatch.
Right.
If you've seen literally any clip from that movie.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. God, that's really good.
Yeah.
Man.
See, I know things sometimes.
Right. All right, and here's the thing. This is all we have for the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast, and we're only 20 minutes in, and we're pretty well done. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about this movie?
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and can I announce the next one? Can I announce the next one?
What's the next one?
Poltergeist! Poltergeist, Dad! Poltergeist!
Okay, we'll do Poltergeist, but I'm also going to tell you that coming up after Poltergeist, we will, because he's really excited about Poltergeist.
I am excited about Poltergeist.
And I don't know if or where Poltergeist is available streaming.
We
have it on the $5 discount bin from Walmart. So, I told you guys about that? That Aiden and his friends, they just...
Oh, no, don't tell my stories.
All right, go ahead, you tell.
So, we have this game where if more than two of us are hanging out together, we'll go find the $5 discount bin and just go shoulder deep in it and pull up whatever movie we grab. We buy them and watch them all in a string, and they're usually awful, terrible old movies.
Yes. Yes, and so he wound up with Poltergeist, which, I will tell you, Poltergeist was awesome in the 80s. So
it fits with the title of the segment.
That and I can't wait to see it because some of the practical effects are... Mm-hmm. are worth talking about with Aiden on this podcast without revealing anything good or bad. So, and then also beyond that, I will tell you that my next movies for him will be, and I don't know in what order, but no, I don't know in what order. We'll do Revenge of the Nerds first, which I'm sure is not streaming anywhere, and we're going to have to rent it. And then after that is Valley Girl. Valley Girl is available for free on Netflix. So those will be coming up. And I'm really excited to get through all of this because it goes together well. It's going to be really fun. But enough of that, because now it's time for the
Pod-O-Matic. Hi.
Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. And he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that's where you come in. You guys want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email. And I will put it on my Pod-O-Matic... Oh, wait. Or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds.
6 years.
6 years. And I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be.
49. It's 7 squared.
Oh, nice. That's a good number.
It is a good
number. All right, I'm sorry if I accidentally cut Aiden off there. I was pausing it to go look and make sure it's really been 6 years, and it's actually been 6.5 years I've been doing this. So that's why it's all so smooth. Okay. But the first number, the good number, is 49, and it comes from Kyle. Kyle says, okay, don't read the end of this yet. We're going to play rock, paper, scissors and see who wins. My answer is that the end of the question will be obscured in other texts so you don't read it inadvertently. It's just a bunch of numbers around it. So before we start, I want you to know that I'm picking scissors. So use that to figure out what you're going to do without looking at my answer. Even talk it out if you want to on the show. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, shoot, rock! I know how to do this one. And, oh god, he picked rock. God, it's a tie. Sorry, dude. Okay, we'll go again. Ready? 1, 2, 3, shoot, rock! Ooh, Kyle.
I got scissors.
Yeah, exactly. Aiden played for you and got scissors. You lose.
Yeah, sorry, Kyle.
Oh, man, shouldn't
have chosen me as your surrogate.
I thought for sure. He says he was going to pick scissors. I thought this was one of those where he's just going to be honest with me.
Look. See, reverse psychology doesn't work when there's three options.
Yeah, I took your word for it, man. I took your word for it. How do you live with yourself? That's the problem I have. You know, we played some Secret Hitler last night. A lot of Secret Hitler. Me and my in-laws. And
me and my in-laws were Hitler.
And they, some of them lied right to my face, and it was just, Haley.
Mm-hmm.
Haley lied straight to my face, and, like, I was so convinced that she was one of the good guys. Like, mm-hmm. I had the whole table figured out. I'm like, okay, liberal, fascist. I had them all nailed down. Everyone was agreeing with me, and we were just going right through this thing.
And Haley was Hitler.
And I trusted her so much, I made her chancellor. And she was Hitler, and they won. God! Right to my face, she lied. I'm so resentful. So fortunately, they forced me to play one more game after that, and I kicked their asses. So that's all that matters.
Straight to your face.
Straight to my face!
Yeah, ooh, 92! That is
in a game of Secret Hitler. Who lies in Secret Hitler? That is just, it's 92 criminal.
92 is a very, very good number.
Do you know why?
Yeah, because it's 8 squared plus 1.
No, it's not. It's not even 9 squared plus 1.
No, it's not. I failed you all, and I'm sorry. It's 9 squared minus 6.
It's 23 times 4. My favorite number times 4. That's why it's such
What's
a good
What's your number. Favorite number?
23.
Mine too.
How about that? So, this one's from Kyle. And Kyle says, you're trapped in a bunker for 1 year while the radiation dissipates. You're alone. But you assume your family is safe in another bunker. You only get to have one non-perishable food and one canned or bottled beverage to last you the year. Assume that you have unlimited water and nutritional supplements so that you don't need to worry about that. What do you pick? Well, obviously Neapolitan ice cream. It would be... No.
Why?
It's a callback to last week's episode where we were stranded on an island with Neapolitan ice cream.
And we don't eat it color by color like a psychopath.
Wait. It's only one non-perishable food. Ugh.
What does that mean?
It's a food that doesn't go bad.
Oh, then so. I'd choose a oatmeal cream pie Little Debbie cakes.
Ooh. I was going to say,
or beef jerky, either one.
If frozen food counts, then Totino's party pizzas.
Oh, God, put them in a microwave for 90 seconds, forget about it.
Okay, or if it's canned food, probably mini raviolis.
Really?
There you go. Oh, I'm such a simple man.
You mocked me earlier today for putting toxins in my body by eating Chef Boyardee mini raviolis.
Yes, because I relate. You didn't catch that? That's the reason that I am so nostalgic for garbage food. I grew up on garbage food. I love garbage food. I'm a simple man. So.
We know.
Oh, wait, and my beverage obviously is going to be Diet Dr. Pepper.
Ooh, 33. That's a really good number. It's 11 times 3.
Yes. You know, you're going to have to come up with better reasons than just factoring
stuff. Oh, really? Really? Because, did you know that, 211 is an odd number?
Yes. I'm aware of that. I don't know what your problem is. This one's from Mime Killer. Mime Killer says, have you ever openly wept in a movie theater and for what film?
I have in Christmas Shoes.
Yeah, but you weren't in the theater for that.
Yes, I was.
You saw Christmas Shoes at the theater?
We did not. I went with a friend to Omaha for a special showing.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that.
Cried in a theater.
Yeah, that's one of those.
It was shameful.
I will tell you.
Christmas Shoes is a sad movie.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm
one of the only movies I ever cried to.
Oh, man, you want to see a sad movie? Go watch The Cure. Oh, that thing also, was terrible.
I don't know if this even counts as spoilers anymore, but I also cried at the end of Guardians 2.
Mm, that's true. I know I have cried in a movie theater. I cannot recall what film. I have cried at many films, mostly at home, but every once in a while I've cried for a movie in the theater. But
Jacob cried in the theater when Diego from Ice Age died.
Oh, that was so sad. Well, and then Noah just cried for the first time in a movie. That was pretty cool. But, you know, it's not a, I don't remember what movies I've cried at, but I will start keeping track. And if I cry in a film, I will make sure I bring it to you guys. So this question can be updated. How does that
work? Mike has cried!
That's going to be the new segment. 84. 84.
21 times 4.
Yes. Man, you're so good at this game.
Right? Better than you, Mr. Odd Number.
So, anyway, 84 is from Phoebe. And Phoebe says, how can you most effectively motivate children to clean their living spaces? It is.
You can't.
It is absolutely impossible. I don't know why you're trying. Give up.
61. That's an awful number. I hate it.
Yeah, well, it's probably from Ronster then. It's from Kyle. Should have saw that coming. There you go. I speak English. I speak English. Whatever. Are you still a fan of Taylor Swift, or have you finally realized what a giant phony she is?
Phony. Okay, hold on.
Eh. You know what? She's not any worse than any other mega pop star. And no, I'm not a huge fan of Taylor Swift anymore. I appreciated her for a while, and now I don't. So, her latest stuff, I mean, what's the latest? Look What You Made Me Do? Is that her latest song?
That's her latest hit, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a bad song, but it's not, you know, it's not in my rotation or anything, but I don't mind it. So, she's alright.
Alright, 78. That's a good number. Can't think of a fact for it, but it's a good number.
78.
It's not so easy in the hot seat, is it?
It's 2 times 3 times 13. There you go. Is that what you needed?
You could have said 6 times 13.
It's also the year that we adopted my brother, 1978.
Oh, no, so I was going to say, wow, is that 78 A.D.?
So, man, you are so difficult to work with. 78 is from Phoebe again. Have you been able to play more Starfinder? No, people keep asking me this question, and no, we haven't played more. And if so, what...
We keep talking to him about it, but he keeps telling us, no, I hate Starfinder, go away.
I keep saying, no, you're gonna sit
down... Let me watch this football game.
You're gonna sit down and play Dad's homemade game that he's cut out of paper. Quick, play Godball. That's what they do. So, we want to, we just keep not getting to it. It's just one of those things. So, sorry.
Ooh, 53. That's a prime number.
53 is, in fact, prime number. That makes it... 53 is one of those I don't like, though. I'm just not a big fan of 53. Don't know why.
There's no songs about it, either.
Also from Phoebe. God, she's killing it. All right. Would you rather spend a day living as the Hulk / Bruce Banner, Tony Stark / Iron Man, or Diana Prince / Wonder Woman? How is this even a contest?
Tony Stark.
Wonder Woman. What is wrong with you?
Okay, hear me out.
Go ahead.
As Tony Stark, I get a fleet of suits of armor that can fly, as well as more money than I can ever dream of spending. Ever.
Right, but it's just a day.
Right! Do you know how much fun you can have with all that money in a day?
Okay, except here's the problem. Of those three, Wonder Woman, Diana Prince, is clearly the single most awesome human being ever.
I didn't say she wasn't.
Or demigod. Maybe not necessarily a human being.
I don't...
I would be Wonder Woman in a heartbeat. I would be Wonder Woman at the drop of a hat. I'm ready. I will be Wonder Woman. I'm good at this. Yes. This guy, he's just being selfish and materialistic. But me...
It's one day! Yes. What would you do as Wonder Woman for a day?
Well, if nothing else. If nothing else, just to live as a female for one day. What an amazing experience. Something that most people will never get.
Yes, half of people get that every day.
Right, but some people never. What an experience that would be, as opposed to just seeing what it's like to have all the money in the world and not having to want for anything for 24 hours.
You keep acting like men and women are different, but I don't see gender, so who's the bigot now?
Hashtag feminism. So, Okay, wait. If I could be Tony Stark for one day and sign over $500 million to myself so that when I become me again, I'm then rich for the rest of my life, if that's allowable under these rules, then Tony Stark. Otherwise, Wonder Woman.
Now you're getting it! All right, 66. That is 1/6 away from being Satan.
66.6?
It's one-tenth Satan.
So, anyway, this one is...
It's a unit of measurement known as a micro-Satan.
Also from Phoebe. Holy cow, I think that's 4 out of 8 or 4 out of 9? That's amazing. Alright, so why is it that RPGs don't translate as well into video game format, where the individual plays only with computer-generated characters and not characters played by other humans? Or is the premise of this question incorrect? Well, it doesn't translate well because...
Can I take a stab at this one?
Yeah, go for it. Stab away.
Because when you're playing a tabletop role-playing game, the concept of playing that game and the concept of you being a human playing that game makes the possibilities for the outcomes literally infinite.
Yes.
But when you play a video game, you aren't a human playing a character. You're a human controlling a computer.
Right, you're guiding
that
a program.
That computer has limited amounts of memory of which to store a story.
From what I get, I don't play many video games anymore, but from what I understand, they're getting better at letting you make choices within a video game that, while it is still technically a choose-your-own-adventure, they're able to make it feel more organic, and they're able to make it feel more like a natural story, and it feels like you're actually making choices that guide you to your own individualized destiny. But ultimately, AI is not quite good enough yet to give you that feel of limitless potential. The idea that you're interacting against real people in a real world, simulating this whatever story, and feeling like you have full control and you can literally do anything. I mean, they're getting closer, but it's still not quite the same. That's my opinion. I think you were dead on.
All right, 75.
75.
25.
Right.
Or 5 times 3.
Right. That's even better. So, Phoebe again. Oh my god, it's almost like I'm cheating for her, but I'm not. Phoebe says, to the extent that Starfinder games might mimic things which we've enjoyed seeing in the various Star Trek series and spin-offs, which one of these settings do you think would be most fun as the underlying inspiration for a Starfinder game? So
literally any of the Paradise Planets from the original Star Trek series.
Okay, for a game that you would want to play in?
Right, because they always get to these Paradise Planets, and it seems perfect on the surface, but there's always something darker going on beneath.
Very nice. Okay, how about as an overall property?
Oh,
like Star Trek or Star Wars or of the sci-fi animes you've seen or Firefly, Mass Effect. All of these are games that are settings that people, if you follow the Starfinder Reddit.
See, I think Fallout would be a good one.
Yeah, see? The Starfinder subreddit, I asked people, you know, I said, look, it looks like, you know, for people who are very into Firefly, as I am, they're like, oh my god, I can play Firefly now. All right, but for people who are more into Star Wars, oh look, I can play Star Wars. And it turns out that when I asked them, whatever it was that they were most into, they saw in Starfinder that particular property. They saw Mass Effect, because, or they saw Cowboy Bebop, or they saw Star Trek.
Good call for Cowboy Bebop.
Thank you. That was one of the names I actually put down, otherwise I would never come up with an anime. So
I'm glad you know it's an anime.
Yes.
But no, like, rounding back to it, it's role-playing games are what you make of them.
Right. And Starfinder has been cleverly designed so that you can see any of those properties in it. Now, to answer your question, me personally, Firefly. I have always wanted to play a Firefly-style game, and to
you
me...
brown coat loser.
And to me, therefore, I look at Starfinder, and I see that, oh my god, they wrote this specifically so I could play Firefly. That's what this is about. It's a small
yes,
ship.
Yes, they wrote it specifically for Mike, so
exactly.
He could play Firefly.
A small crew on a small vessel, you know, out on the fringes of known space, doing whatever. It just seems
having
like...
but you can't take the skies from him, alright?
That's... Shut up, you can't. So...
35. 7 times 5.
35
it's
is
a good number.
Is from Kaz. Hey, Kaz. And Kaz says, whoops, hold on, I don't know how to type numbers anymore. There we go. Kaz says, wandering the docks of Kingsport, you smell the reek of something long drowned. An amphibious spawn of the Deep Ones clambers onto the scarred wood of the pier behind you. What do you do?
Marry it.
Oh. Alright. No, you can't marry it. It's an amphibious spawn of the Deep Ones.
And?
It's pure evil.
And? Are you saying pure evil can't feel love?
Look, it may be, you know, you're, no! Look, the entire community is at danger here. At danger. It's clearly in danger here.
And it'll listen to its husband because it loves me.
Oh, look, I am going to, cast some sort of enchantment on it and, wind up capturing it, putting it to sleep, doing something so that I can have it disabled. And then, me and my crew who will, because I'm just the bard, we will all get together and we will find a way to contain it. And if it is intelligent, which we think it is, find out why it's here, and this will be our first clue onto whatever our epic zero to hero journey is.
And then we will marry it.
And then we will save the world. And then, I don't know, why would you buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? That's what I'm
saying. Okay, hold up, we just entered a whole different...
Well,
I'm not talking about fucking it.
First off, don't use the F word on my podcast. Well, I thought that's where you were headed with all
no!
of this.
No! God, that's disgusting!
It's pure evil, and it doesn't have any compunctions about sleeping with you.
In fact,
it would relish this opportunity to corrupt your mortal soul.
No, I'm just talking about marriage, a very wholesome thing. God, you had to go and make it gross!
Alright, obviously we have a difference of opinion on this, but you know what? We'll just agree to disagree. 06.
6, that's a good number.
Yeah, it actually really is. It's a nice, simple number. It's highly composite for being, you know, only having 4 factors to it. So that makes it really cool. But number 6 is from Kaz again. And Kaz says, welcome, adventurer. Oh, man, he's got a theme going. You have followed the trail to the keep on the borderlands. Can you and your fellow halflings manage to survive? If so, how? All right, well. Look, I was going to say, oh man, that is a heavy weight to drop on me. I'm sorry. I will get back to Kaz's question in a moment, but the Facebook instant message that just popped up is from my wife telling me that April is no longer a virgin, took me a moment to process, and then I realized, oh, she's talking about Grey's Anatomy. Oh, they see now.
Oh, come on, Grey's Anatomy spoilers! How dare
now
you?
My phone is dinging. It's an old show.
My gosh!
I'm like, oh, well, that's actually kind of a surprise. So, great, I'm gonna have to go ahead and find out what that's all about in a little bit.
It's from Mom. She says April's no longer a virgin.
I get that. Okay. God, that's big news. So anyway, here's the deal.
What a weird
It's the keep on the borderlands, and my plan originally was going to be to not survive. We would go in and get slaughtered because we are brainless. But you did mention that we are halflings, so therefore
right, we're funny little short people.
No, we are We are powerful. We have a deep inner strength and a yearning for adventure.
Right, and that's
so
why
therefore,
we go in under the guise of jesters, and while they're asleep, we slit all their throats.
No, with don't. That's a really sore subject for Dave. He slit some giant's throats in their sleep, and he has been really regretting it. He feels bad, and it's kind of cruel of you to even bring it up at this point.
Dave, don't worry. Eventually you won't feel anything when you slit throats.
Okay. I'm just saying that as halflings, with brains, speed, luck, we would get in there and we would triumph. We would survive. We would thrive. In fact, you know what? It's not even really luck, is it? I mean, so much as the blessing of our mighty halfling gods. So therefore, I mean, it appears as luck to you common folk, but really, it's because we are, you know, favored of the divine. So, yeah, dude, this is cake. This is not a problem at all. But thank you.
All right, 31.
31 comes
from? They were in that 30 range, huh?
Yep, on my unbiased dice. It's kind of nice. Hey, it's from Phoebe. Kyle, you are getting your ass kicked today, man.
Don't tempt him.
Phoebe says, how can a person navigate a tightrope of wanting to accept and love his or her body and other people's bodies exactly as they are while still feeling unhappy about gaining weight and really wanting to lose some?
I mean, you can like your body, but still strive to make it healthier and look better.
Right, except that that is a very difficult
right
path to walk. Yeah, the idea is be happy with who you are, be happy with how you look, and yet also it's still okay to want to be healthier, to want to feel better, you know, be able to exercise without getting winded so easily, without, you know, all the stuff that I worry about. And yet the problem is that, you know, if you're wanting to change your body, yeah, it's very natural to want to hate the way you look or hate the way you are because God, if only I weren't such a lazy piece of crap, I could be so much better. I understand, and, my personal solution is I am hopelessly optimistic and terribly oblivious. And therefore, I get so busy being happy about stuff that I just kind of forget that, oh yeah, that's right, I'm also a fat piece of crap. I forgot about that part, but you know, whatever. People still like me. So I guess I'm all right. Although, you know, I am likely to die of a,
this was getting really depressing.
Yeah, well, I was going to get into dying of a heart attack at an early age like my grandfather did because, you know, I don't take care of myself very
96!
Well. At least I'm taking my medications and some of my blood pressure is... Okay.
96.
You know, I could have turned that around. It would have been fine.
No, we pressed the button. We're done with it.
I'm sure. Look, I'm sure that this walking pneumonia isn't causing any permanent damage.
The button.
All right. It's from Phoebe. All right. This is where we're going to have to end it, because Phoebe's king today, or queen, if you want to be, you know, that way about it. That's fine. Which of these old cartoons was better? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Super Friends?
TMNT straight up.
Okay. I was never into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And that's why I've disowned you as my father.
I was old enough when it came out to recognize that it was completely moronic.
Oh, how so?
Because it was a stupid ad for stupid toys and nothing
more. And Super Friends wasn't?
No. Super Friends was not, it wasn't about the merchandising back in the 70s. That only came into the 80s when they started to really push the whole merchandising hook and the idea of creating a TV series solely for the purpose of selling toys.
Mm-hmm.
Super Friends was all about entertaining kids. Now, the problem I have is that, in retrospect, I realized that Super Friends was probably an even worse and more inane and moronic TV show than Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So, I have a really tough time here. I mean, at least the Turtles pretended to have real plots.
At least people remember the Turtles.
Right. They had, you know what, I'm gonna give it to the Turtles on this one, but only because it's the lesser of two evils. I mean, in the battle of the witless, it's really still an idiot winning. So, you know, we'll go with that one. All right, and now we are going for one more, and that's fine.
98.
It's right here. Hey, it's from D-Rod. Oh, how sad.
What?
D-Rod, there, he is, one half of Angry Geeks Versus, and their last episode just aired, last week.
Yeah, they're just throwing random pity to a different human being.
No, so D-Rod's show is over and no longer a part of the Nerd Pride Network. After 92-ish episodes, several years of this, they've finally brought it to an end with their final episode about Justice League. So, tune into that and say goodbye to D-Rod and Milhouse and the Angry Geeks. But anyway, D-Rod says, I started listening to a few podcasts that dedicate, each episode of their show to a single episode of an existing show. For example, The Simpsons, Seinfeld, all of Star Trek. And I've listened to The X-Files, by Kumail Nanjiani, going through episode by episode of The X-Files, stuff like that. I know that there was a podcast called Toss Salad and Scrambled Eggs, going through Frasier episode by episode. So I know exactly what you're talking about. What television show do you think you could do an entire podcast series about?
Firefly.
Clearly Firefly, and it would only be 13 episodes plus a bonus extra long finale to cover the movie, and then I'd be all done. And here's the thing, is that Firefly is so well covered that there are tons of people out there who know more about it than I do, so it would be a slightly inadequate podcast. But that would be my first choice. But is there any others?
Well, I don't know anything about you, but I know that Sam could definitely do a Cast in the Curious style series about literally any name that was ever mentioned in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that would be pretty good.
And I would listen to that. I would listen the crap out of that.
That's not bad. I'm trying to think of what other ones. Look, I wouldn't mind going through, although it's supposed to be a show, in most of these cases, these are shows that were very popular, or at least gained a large enough following. Because I would love to do Dark Matter, just because Dark Matter is now over after 3 seasons, and it's woefully incomplete, and I'm sad to see it go, because I really loved the show Dark Matter. But Dark Matter's just only got a tiny following. There's just not enough of us. So, or, for that matter, you know what? Jacob and I could do one about Steven Universe.
You could if you want to be, you know, losers.
Oh, God, I would love to do it. You know what? That's it. I'm giving up Nerd Pride. Jacob and I are now doing a Steven Universe episode-by-episode podcast. I think
Abort!
Okay. 31.
We already did it.
We did 31?
You could swear we've done 31.
Don't swear. Yeah, we did.
76,
which we haven't done. All right, 76 is from Kaz. We'll end on this one now. An even 15. Does that help you?
Yes.
Okay. Kaz says, how many of your scouts wanted to go to Philmont Scout Ranch? I ask as it's one of the scouting memories I have from my dad.
What?
Okay. In general, none of our scouts want to go to Philmont Scout Ranch because most of them don't know what it is. It is a very large scout ranch, so it's an extra large camp where you go
where they raise and butcher scouts.
And you can go for, short adventures or week-long camps, or I think they even have longer than week-long. And, Philmont is very well known, and I've never been, and I don't think anyone from our troop has ever been, but it is a well-known scout camp. It's very big and it has lots of high adventure stuff and all this cool things. But while we talk about it every year and, every 2 or 3 years, a scoutmaster will get super excited about, you know what we should do? We need to set up a trip to Philmont. That would be an awesome trip. The kids would love that.
What you guys were talking about when you kept saying Philmont?
Yes. And then they would try and get all the scouts excited about Philmont. And then the scouts never got excited about Philmont. They got excited about and no, Philmont! Not you. Noah's confused. And so instead of raising the hundreds of dollars to go to Philmont, it was always way more exciting to the scouts to say, hey, how about if we get some stuff together and we go canoeing down the Niobrara River for the weekend? And, like, you know, we had local adventures where we already had the equipment and it isn't gonna require a year of fundraising to get us there, and the kids were super excited about all that stuff. They never were exposed to enough literature or material about Philmont to really know what it was and be super excited for it. To them, the stuff that we have more locally, was always just as good. So, you know, no, never did it. May someday, but you know, I've only got a few years left, so we'll see how that plays out. Anyway, that is the end of the Podomatics. Now, it's time for GLaDOS to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
Thank you, GLaDOS, and holy cow. Okay, so I asked GLaDOS to give us a recap, and then I went out to see a movie, and now I'm back. So I actually have an update before I get to the credits, because, as it turns out, there's a new movie that I've cried at, and it just happened. I went to see Wonder. And I tell you what, I read the book Wonder, and I loved it a lot. And so I just now went to see the movie Wonder with my wife and with Noah, who is over there coughing again. And all three of us loved the movie. It was amazing. I started tearing up 20 minutes into this film, and then all the way through the rest of the movie. I mean, when bad things happen to everybody, you cry. And then when good things happen and people are being kind and sweet and uplifting, you cry. It was a tearjerker. It was designed to do this.
And when the moments are kind of neutral, you just like, meh.
Okay, yeah. And during the neutral moments, you just kind of wait to cry. I was like stuffed up the whole time. Just, you could just feel it coming every moment. And I think part of it also, I mean, it was really well done. But also, having read the book, even when there's quiet moments, I know what's coming. I'm like, oh, here it comes. So it was, wow. It was a good movie. I really recommend going to see Wonder. It was a lot of fun. And just, I mean, you know, be ready to cry. And if you don't cry, again, it's because you have no soul. That's not my fault. It's a good movie. So anyway, now that we're done with that. This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week is Weezer's in the Garage and It's Awesome in the 80s by Noah. That's what it is. All the songs I use except for that Awesome in the 80s by Noah is available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them.
Wrote that one song by Weezer in the Garage, it would just be Weezer or in the house.
Yeah, that's so true. Don't forget that this podcast is the sole lonely member of the Nerd Pride Network. Angry Geeks is just wrapped up, as I mentioned. Me Like Trivia is on indefinite hiatus, and other new podcasts have not yet joined me. So, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd me. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to it in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write us a nice review. Write me a nice review or a crappy review. Doesn't matter. Just give it 5 stars. Those things really make a difference. But if you want to do something super nice for me, recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying this, please, please, please mention it to one other person and let them know that they can be enjoying it too. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic, which you guys have been wonderful about. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal, which I see that we've got a ton of it this week. Thank you. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, if you like things, something more than 211 is odd, look it up. Send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. You know I'll use it because I'm too lazy to do it on my own. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message, we will hang out together, we will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. I'm not going to do that. now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook, and I post up, hey guys, I am recording. Anything you say, I will read off at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing. He's almost
Sorry.
Done. Right now! First up, we'll head over to my forums at nerdpriderradio.com/nerds. And, alright, I started off with betrayal time. Ask me a question about a movie, and then also name a smiley I should have on my forums, but don't already. Talk to me. Okay. So, Flameblade starts. Flame, me to you, sincerely. Thank you for participating every week. I know you don't even listen to the podcast, and yet you're here to provide me with quality material every week. I appreciate it. You're awesome. Alright. Flameblade says, so, what is the absolute worst movie? The worst movie is Rushmore. Rushmore is a terrible, horrible, awful, evil movie, and I can't stand it. I understand lots of people like Rushmore. I get it. I like his other movies. I like lots of his other movies. But Rushmore, I hate it. I can't stand that thing. And I went into it with such high expectations. I thought it was going to be quirky and funny, and it turns out that it's just bitter and mean, and everyone in it is unlikable, and then at the very end, they give us some really grotesque happy ending just pasted onto this stupid thing. It was just, can't stand Rushmore. It is the movie I was most disappointed in, the movie that made me most angry for wasting my time on it. How's that? And I know other people really, really love it, and I get it, but I don't get it. So, should we do a tournament on what is truly the worst of the worst? Man, we probably could, and we would have a lot of fun doing it. You know what? We should. I think it's going to be a really tough one because, doing a worst movie thing, it's so particular. But, you know what? We could get a consensus on that. Alright, you know what? That might be fun. We'll try it out. Alright. Next is Walrus. Hey, Walrus, my new best friend in the world. Alright. Walrus says, was watching Death Race 2000, the 1970s version. Yeah, the best version, until my better half wigged out on it. Thoughts? I love the original Death Race 2000. That thing is so 70s. It's so, I mean, man, it's just out there. It's a hand grenade. Get it? That's my favorite part of that whole thing. It's got Sylvester Stallone in it. It has got super gratuitous full frontal nudity. I mean, and when I say super gratuitous, I mean there is no reason for it to be in this movie at all. The premise is absolutely ridiculous, and they treat it so seriously, and they just go after it. Death Race 2000 is really, really fun. I enjoy that movie a lot. For Awesome in the 80s, Flight of the Navigator.
What is that?
Have you seen... Oh, you haven't seen Flight of the Navigator?
No.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I have either. So... Have I seen Flight of the Navigator? I'm pretty sure I haven't. That's a sci-fi movie, right? It's not a... God, I always get that confused. Every time someone says Flight of the Navigator, I think it's the one with the geese. No, that's Fly Away Home, where she has to build a plane and teach the geese how to fly south for the winter or whatever that crap is. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen Flight of the Navigator, and I should because I've heard it mentioned a zillion times. So I can't do it for Awesome in the 80s, but I should watch it anyway, just because, you know. That's it. As for smileys, he's given the jerk-off smiley, don't know, and the provoke with a stick smiley, maybe something with a bad attitude. Nice. Yeah, I don't know. I always want to do new smileys, but I can never think what they are. The last couple of times I've tried new ones, they've been ones that don't get a whole lot of use except someone who's just cruising through all the smileys because they want to be funny. So... No gaming this end tonight as I am sick as a dog. So I made it again. Oh, is that why I get to see you? It's because you're sick? Oh man, now I'm going to be disappointed every time. I mean, I love having you on Listener Betrayal. I really do. Because it's so cool to have different people show up. But God, if your being here just means that you're too sick to game or that someone canceled on you or you're missing out on a cool night of gaming, I feel bad now. So that's so sad. But you know what? Hopefully this will brighten your day. All right? I'm here for you. After all, you are my best friend in the world. Next up is Ronster. Ronster says, could the movie Legend, starring Tom Cruise, be remade? And if so, should it?
Yes, it could, and no, it shouldn't.
What did you not like about Legend with Tom Cruise?
I just don't like Tom Cruise.
Do you know anything about Legend?
No.
Yeah, you've never seen it. I've seen Legend, but it was so long ago that I barely remember it. I'm sure it could be remade, and I have no idea. I honestly have no idea. God, now I gotta watch Legend and find out if it should be remade. I can't even remember if it was. I can't even remember if I enjoyed it. That's so weird. I mean, I know it was Tom Cruise, and then there was the big demon in it. Did Tim Curry star as the demon? Was that? Am I thinking correctly? I mean, I know what movie I'm thinking of. I just can't remember if that was Tim Curry or not. Wow. You know what? Let's say yes. Yes, they should absolutely remake Legend. They'll make a way better movie, whatever it was. All right. And then for smileys, Ron says, you should have a smiley hat. You should have a smiley hat is a sideways S like this one. Oh, okay. Oh, a smiley that. It's not a smiley hat. He just left out the T. I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. So yeah, okay, yeah. He's looking for the confused half smile, half frown, confused emoji, smiley. God, not an emoji. Those things are copyrighted. Okay. All right, cool.
I mean, you're not making money off this podcast, so I mean.
I'll add that to my list.
Make money on the podcast?
What?
You're gonna add?
No, I'm adding this smiley to. No, I'm never gonna make money on the podcast
until you sell out big time.
Oh God, I wish I would. Boy, imagine how awesome it would be to be able to sell out. I would love to be a sellout. That would be great, raking in money.
Selling out?
How awesome is selling out? So awesome. What is something that the nerd who has everything would want for Christmas? Oh, this is easy. Nerd who has everything really wants a really cool board game or card game, especially a card game. Nice, simple one, because you can get those.
Made by something that a friend of a friend made.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They might even want, you know, something handmade by you, like if you went to all the trouble of cutting out and pasting together a copy of Godball, for example. No. What I'm thinking is, I mean, that's what I'm giving the game store for Christmas, but, what you want to do is get a cool, clever card game that you know is good. And, you know, if you want some recommendations, we can give you some recommendations. I mean, what?
Godball?
No, Godball's not, Godball has a lot of cards in it, but it's not a card game. But off the top of my head, what are some of our good card games? We have a million of them.
Poo.
Yeah, Poo is a nice, easy one. It's a game about monkeys throwing poo. Flux. Flux is amazing. If they've never played Flux, it's a good intro to weird card games. Munchkin? Munchkin takes a little bit of personality. It takes a little bit of... It's a lot easier if you have someone to teach you, and it's a lot easier if you're familiar with Dungeons & Dragons tropes. That makes the introduction to it a little bit simpler. So maybe Munchkin is not the best one, but... God, we've got so many card games. Why can I not think? Simon's Cat. Simon's Cat is a nice, simple one. But there's lots of really cool card games. I'll give you a more complete list when I can think of it. But anyway, a cool... And card games are nice as a... I'm sorry. I'm stumbling back and forth. I need to slow down. Card games make a really great Christmas gift because it's easy to find a card game that they don't own. And they're usually relatively cheap. Like, you're getting them for $15 or less. So it's not like you have to spend a lot of money on it. And you give them something that they can really enjoy. So, there you go. In your opinion, are gift cards a cop-out or a convenient and considerate alternative?
I'd say they're extremely convenient and considerate.
Yes, absolutely. A gift card is... it's the fact that you're actually doing something for them. It's a gift. Who gives a crap if it's... I mean, yes, if you can be the kind of gift giver who is super thoughtful and you have researched stuff and you give them something that's so particular to them and that will have all this meaning, that's awesome if you're the kind of person that can do that. I suck at that. The idea is you just give a gift, all right? If you feel like you have to give a gift, you're going to give a gift. You get just anything is decent. And a gift card, in my opinion, is... Look, I know you enjoy this kind of stuff, so I'm giving you a gift card that you have to spend money on yourself at this place. I just don't know what you want. But here, go spend this money on yourself and enjoy it. So if you're giving them a gift card to, you know, to Steam or PlayStation, if they're into video games, you know, you can give them a gift card that they can buy some kind of downloadable game. Awesome. Or give them a gift card to a gaming store, or give them a gift card to a restaurant they enjoy. But it's something that they then have to spend the money on themselves. They can't just, you know, use it to go buy groceries or pay bills or whatever. You're giving them, you know, something that is for them. And I think that's awesome. I am totally in favor of gift cards. And I'm stealing half of that answer from the last episode of Friendshipping. If you don't listen to Friendshipping, I recommend it. And in this last one, they talked all about Christmas stuff, and they talked about gift giving and what's appropriate and what's not, and that was, I'm basically paraphrasing their speech on gift cards, and I am in full agreement with them, so they were very smart. Alright, next up.
Man, that was a long one, huh?
Yeah, I know.
I had nothing to say for that entire bit.
Oh, I'm sorry, is that why you kept poking me?
Yeah, I wanted to move on so I could say funny things, but... Oh. And you were just being serious that whole time, and I had nothing to do.
Okay, next one's from Produce Farmer. Produce Farmer says, Aiden, say something funny. Yeah, see? You don't have it, do you? All right,
I don't even know what... I play off of what you're saying.
No, I'm just kidding. Produce Farmer says, Betrayed! Awesome, good to see you, man. Which of the old cash-in sci-fi and fantasy movies riding on the coattails of the original Star Wars was your favorite? Oh. Riding on the coattails of Star Wars. Oh, man. Sci-fi and fantasy movies.
Firefly.
No. wasn't a movie.
I mean, there was one.
Wasn't riding on the coattails of Star Wars, because this was 20 years later.
Mm.
No, when I think of cash-in movies, I think of Krull. And I know Krull is actually riding on the coattails of Conan the Barbarian, back when we pronounced it Conan. But Krull is the one that I really think of like that. When I think of, sci-fi, especially, Star Wars-like stuff, I think of Ice Pirates, which is, it's actually a comedy farce parody of that sort of sci-fi movie. And, at the time that it came out, I thought Ice Pirates, oh man, Ice Pirates would be a great awesome in the 80s, because I loved Ice Pirates. I mean, me and my friends, my brother, we loved Ice Pirates. Have you seen Ice Pirates?
You showed me Ice Pirates.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh my god, because I remember watching it again going, what?
Isn't there a scene in that movie where they get high on drugs, literally?
Maybe?
They're literally, like, floating on the ceiling.
I don't remember. God, I really don't remember. We must have watched it a half dozen times when I was young. But, man, that thing. Last time I tried to watch it, I remember watching going, God, this thing's a piece of crap. I can't believe I thought this was funny. What was wrong with me? But Ice Pirates, there you go. So, Produce Farmer then continues. I've also got a podcast suggestion for you. The Ludology podcast. Ludology, featuring some guys associated with Dice Tower. It's a board game analysis show, and it's got a 7-year archive, which is good. The good shows are kind of scattered all over. Okay. I put Ludology on my rotation, and it is one of those that I put it in the rotation and then never, ever listened to it. It was just one that...
Then it's not really a rotation, well, now, is it?
Exactly. No, it's not, because I put it in the list, and finally it got to the point where I had, like, 5 episodes of it downloaded, because they just kept downloading every time it came out, but it never made it to the top of my list to watch, because there was always... I had so much other stuff that I was watching or listening to. I had so much other stuff in my podcast list that I just never got to it, because I had all my must-listens first. And so I finally just wound up unsubscribing to it without ever listening. So, okay, you know what? I've got free time. I'll put it back on the list, and we'll see if I like it. So I'll give it another shot. Produce Farmer ends with, have a great Sunday, Mike. I already have. Did I tell you I went to see Wonder? Cried like a baby. All right, done. Now I'm finished.
Wait, hold on. I see that your title is Bone Doctor.
Yes.
Does that mean that you're currently working on a cure for bonitis?
Yes. Yes, I'm working on the cure for bonitis. That's what bone doctors do. I have no idea why the title would be bone doctor, but yeah, the titles change every 25 posts, so I'm sure it'll be gone relatively soon. All right, next up.
How do you not have the maximum one yet?
Because they go up to 10,000, and I'm not up to 10,000 yet. And when I get to 10,000, I'll just add another couple thousand. So it just keeps going. Yeah, I know. I have 400 different titles so far. So actually, 400 and like two or three, because there's some bonus tricky ones in there just because I think I'm funny. And no one ever notices them,
you
but
think
they're there.
You're funny.
Yeah. Well, like, when here's one that no one's ever, at least I don't think anyone's ever pointed out to me. Maybe they have. If you ever hit 666 posts, well, eventually you will hit 666 posts, but before it, you are a Civil War veteran. And then at 666 posts, it changes to Call Me Beals, Beelzebub reference. And then the minute you go to 667, then it changes back to Civil War veteran or whatever it is. And so it's just a little joke about Satan that shows up for one post and then it's gone. And I don't know if anyone's ever noticed it, but you know, it's been there for years. So you know what? If you're approaching 666 posts on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, go ahead and check that out. You know, there you go. You'll have your half moment of a slight smile. Oh yeah, there it is. There you go. It's not that great. All right. Anyway, so now I am at Facebook and hey, look at this. All right. I said, now recording episode 211, post here and I'll put it in the podcast. Also, describe to me your favorite pet in honor of Jacob's new cat, Griffin. And, Kyle starts off with, have you told the story of your son's garbage cat? Yes, yes, I just did. And I really like the garbage cat. We got to meet him today, and he's really cool. I mean,
he's the sweetest thing ever.
He is going to need about a month of fattening up and learning to groom himself. And he's missing some basic cat skills. Jacob says, he doesn't do the normal pouncing hunting thing, because I think he's right at the age where if he was a normal cat, his mom would be teaching him how to hunt, but he doesn't have a mom. So Jacob's got to, now that they've gotten comfortable with each other, Jacob's going to have to you know, learn to play with him and get him to chase things around and do normal cat stuff. But he's getting there. So, like I say, he's going to the doctor tomorrow, and I'm sure he's going to be 100% better again next week even. So this is good. All right. Sarah Beth says, how does the cat get along with Miles? Oh, that is an awesome question. Miles being, Jacob's hedgehog. And again,
fun thing is that Miles chases the cat around.
Yes. Miles, here's the nice thing about having a hedgehog, even a little pygmy hedgehog like this one, is, hedgehogs don't have to be scared of anybody, and so therefore they're not, because they don't care. You can put them in with a big dog, a big cat, it doesn't make any difference. They only mess with him once. So, they play just fine. Miles loves other animals. I mean, like, usually he stays away from them, but we have watched him, with our cats, and he will tease them. You know, he'll get up close, he'll start sniffing at them, startle them, and then they'll wait, and then, you know, Miles is now off by himself, so the cats will come over and they'll get a paw as close to him as they can without actually touching him, just to wait for him to react. Miles, my favorite maneuver, I've only seen it once, but my favorite maneuver is the cat is in the middle of the room, and Miles goes at a sprint, and if you have never seen a hedgehog running, go to YouTube right now and look up hedgehogs running. Just to see what they look like when they run, because it's comical as all get out. Miles sprinted at the cat underneath the cat's legs. So he just goes completely underneath the cat, and when he's right in the middle, he spiked up and then kept going. Scared the shit out of Bear. It was really funny. Yeah, right now, Griffin is not wanting much to do with Miles. I mean, he's interested because it's a rodent, but he's just not very brave yet. But Miles is cool with him because, you know, Miles don't care. I think Jacob's vision, Jacob has a dream of how these animals are going to be. And eventually I think he wants to be watching TV or playing a video game or whatever and have the cat on his lap and the hedgehog on his shoulder and have both of them be cool with each other and he'll just be his own little Dr. Doolittle. I think that's how it's going to go. But yeah, Jacob really is the animal whisperer. He has put so much work into that hedgehog, and Miles is the best behaved, most loving, cuddly little hedgehog ever. And he's putting that same sort of attention into Griffin now, and it's paying off. So it's very cool. I'm very proud of my son. At least one of my sons. So you don't have to hit me. I'm just kidding. I'm not really proud of any of you. So, all right. Sarah Beth then continues and says, "Hope you guys had a wonderful holiday. We are thankful for the whole Nerd Pride." Hey, heck yeah. Honestly, I am really, really appreciative of you guys. I'm glad to have everybody around. I'm glad to have you guys participating in the podcast, in the boards, helping us out with this new game. Gaming every other Thursday. So many good things. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome. And then Ron follows up with, "Happy Thanksgiving, Nerd Pride. My favorite pet right now is our new puppy, Bella, who is mostly Yorkshire Terrier and a wonderful bundle of energy. Toodles, the Ronster." Excellent. Cool. I've decided I am way more of a cat person now, but who doesn't love dogs? Come on. All right. Kyle says, "I didn't read the question before posting. Sorry. My favorite pet is probably my fourth son." Aw. Yeah, you know what? Max is pretty cool. Wait a minute. What's wrong with Jack? I mean, he can be a little ornery, a little stubborn. Yeah, you know what? No, Max is just, wow. Max is just a ray of sunshine, isn't he? Yeah. You know what? All of your kids have their own qualities. They really do. And I appreciate your children. You know, except for Marnie, but I appreciate your children and enjoy spending time with every one of them. But Max is just an exceptional ray of sunshine when you see him. You just, a smiler. He's just fun, funny. So, not that I like him any better than any of the other ones. But
I mean, boy, he
does have that very cool quality. So, and if you actually play this for her or if for some reason she listens, Marnie, I'm just kidding. That was just a joke. It's just Mike being funny. Sorry about that. You're cool. Don't hurt me. Okay. And then that's it. We're all done. So, I've already told you guys I love you and that I appreciate you, so I don't need to do that again, although I just did. And, Aiden, you've been patiently sitting here.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add before we go?
No, just have a great rest of your week until we're back. And
exactly.
We can do this all over again.
That's exactly right. We'll be back next week, and I'm sure you guys will join me, and it'll be awesome. So thank you very much. We'll see you later. Goodbye.